So, imagine you're trying to escape a failing city, right?
Yep.
And you decide to build your own completely independent off-grid island.
Right, like total self-sufficiency.
Exactly. You put in all this grueling work to get off the system, only to wake up one day and realize, well, the city doesn't actually care that you left.
Because they own the only bridge to your island.
Yeah, and they just installed a giant toll booth on it. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone. Today, we are unpacking a really massive intelligence drop from the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing Alternative News for May 22nd, 2026.
And we are warmly welcoming all you truth seekers out there on behalf of the Great Awakening Report.
We really are. And, our mission today is to bypass the sort of surface-level noise of mainstream outlets. We're looking at the subterranean layers, the patterns that mainstream news simply cannot or will not cover.
Right, because there's just so much information overload out there right now. It's like engineered distraction.
Oh, absolutely. So we want to cut through that, recognize the true signals, and really connect the dots for you. But before we jump in, we should probably set our usual baseline here.
Yeah, that's important. We always like to make a clear, neutral statement right up front. Our role today is just to impartially unpack and analyze the specific narratives and theories circulating in this week's briefing.
Right. We're not here to say, hey, we endorse all these viewpoints as absolute fact. We're just trying to help you understand the profound societal shifts happening right now and the ideas that are genuinely shaping these alternative communities.
Exactly. And looking at the stack of sources for this week, there is a very clear overarching theme that the analysts are calling the Great
The
Convergence.
Great Convergence. That sounds ominous, but also kind of hopeful.
It's a bit of both, honestly. They're describing this simultaneous systemic breakdown across geopolitics, economics, media, everything. But paired right alongside that is this intense rise of human sovereignty.
So it's not just a doom and gloom collapse story.
No, not at all. Which brings us to the first major signal from the briefing. This concept they call collapse control.
Collapse control. Okay, so when I hear collapse, I mean, I immediately picture the Hollywood disaster movie, right?
Yeah.
Like the grid goes dark, the stock market zeroes out on a Tuesday, people are running in the streets.
Right, the overnight crash. But alternative analysts are saying that's not what's happening. They believe institutions are intentionally managing a prolonged, gradual decline.
So instead of a cliff, it's like a really long, bumpy staircase.
Exactly. They detail how things like engineered inflation, expanding debt dependencies, and artificially high energy costs are being used as levers.
Just slowly eroding the baseline standard of living.
Yeah, because if you think about it, institutions keep intervening just enough to prevent sudden widespread panic. They inject liquidity or patch a policy, keeping the whole system in this permanent state of crisis management.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second with an analogy. So instead of a sudden tire blowout on the highway where you're forced to stop, we're talking about a slow, microscopic leak.
Oh, that's a perfect way to look at it.
Right, like the institutions are just pumping in barely enough air at every rest stop to keep the car rolling, and they're just hoping we don't realize we're eventually going to be, driving on the rims.
And that psychological impact is the true goal of collapse control. I mean, if the system crashes overnight, it's a unifying shock. People demand accountability. But a slow leak, it just normalizes the stress.
You just get used to the bumpy ride.
Yeah, continuous low-grade instability creates this pervasive exhaustion. So populations just gradually adapt to lower expectations without ever really noticing that the floor dropped out.
It's like exhaustion masquerading as resilience, which is a perfect segue, actually.
Right.
Because if this slow structural constriction is happening on a macro level, the briefing argues it's also happening on a microbiological level.
Right, the physical body is handling all this systemic stress. And that leads directly into this massive narrative they call the Great Poisoning.
The Great Poisoning, which connects a ton of different environmental stressors into one single framework.
Right. Yeah, in these alternative circles, individual health issues aren't just seen as bad luck anymore. They're looking at the cumulative burden of highly processed foods, industrial seed oils, heavy pharmaceutical use, fluoride in the water, and even geoengineering.
It's framed as deliberate biological degradation. I mean, the physiological toll they outline is pretty staggering. They point to skyrocketing autoimmune conditions, chronic inflammation, severe brain fog.
And they tie all of this directly to deep institutional rot. A really interesting example they bring up is Catherine Austin Fitz's analysis.
Oh, right, the former Assistant Secretary of Housing.
Yeah, she famously analyzed what she calls the missing government funds, trillions in undocumentable adjustments in the Department of Defense and HUD.
Wait, so how does missing defense money connect to the health narrative?
Well, the logic in the briefing is, if centralized institutions are capable of obscuring trillions of dollars through opaque accounting, how can you trust those same exact institutions like the FDA or the EPA to tell the truth about the food supply?
Okay. The perceived financial corruption validates the perceived biological corruption. That makes sense. They also highlight international pushback, like the movement to decolonize agriculture in Kurdistan.
Right, rejecting multinational agribusinesses and genetically modified seeds and returning to native heirloom seeds as a form of sovereign defense.
It's fascinating. But let me play devil's advocate for a second. Mm. If we look at this objectively, mainstream science often points to longer life expectancies over the last century. But this great poisoning narrative is resonating massively right now. Why is that?
It's the tension between lifespan and health span.
So we're living longer, but we're sicker.
Exactly. And people are internalizing this sense of systemic sluggishness. I mean, a chronically inflamed, physically exhausted population is just much easier to manage economically and politically.
If you don't have the kinetic energy, you can't fight the system.
That's exactly how the alternative communities view it. So health sovereignty, yeah. You know, clean living, detoxing, local food. It's no longer just some weekend wellness trend.
It's an act of political resistance. Yes. Mental clarity and physical health are seen as absolute prerequisites for personal autonomy.
Which naturally means that as people reclaim their biological sovereignty, they start looking around and wanting to completely distance themselves from the institutions they blame for making them sick.
And that sparks what the briefing refers to as a quiet exodus. Populations are shifting from theory to lived reality.
Right. People are quietly exiting the system. Homesteading, using alternative parallel finance, building decentralized communities.
They're directly reacting to that World Economic Forum phrase, you know, you will own nothing and be happy.
Which used to be dismissed as totally fringe.
Oh, completely.
Mm-hmm.
But now people are feeling it as reality through subscription economies. You don't own your software or your movies anymore. You just rent access. Add in digital wallets, smart city infrastructure, the total erosion of home ownership.
So people are basically feeling like digital serfs. And in response, they're building decentralized lives. They're building those independent off-grid islands we talked about earlier.
But the institutions aren't just letting them walk away. The counter move here is something the briefing calls portal control.
Portal control. Okay. Explain how that works geopolitically.
Well, historically, power was about conquering physical land. Today, it's about controlling choke points. Physical portals, like the Strait of Hormuz or Red Sea shipping lanes, where massive percentages of global goods have to pass through.
Right. You don't need to own the water. You just need to control the narrow corridor.
Right.
But there are digital portals too, right?
Huge ones. AI infrastructure, algorithmic visibility, and especially central bank digital currencies or CBDCs.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting to me. It's as if individuals are trying to build their own independent islands to escape. But the institutions realized, hey, we don't need to control the islands anymore.
We just need to control the bridges.
Exactly. The bridges, the ferries, the communication cables between them. Access itself is the new territory.
That is a brilliant way to synthesize it. Whoever controls the gateways controls participation in modern civilization. If they control the payment rails with the CBDC, they control your commerce.
And if they control algorithmic visibility, shadow banning content, they control your perception.
And this intense focus on controlling the gateways has fundamentally fractured public trust. It has completely changed how people interpret official warnings or institutional narratives.
Especially when it comes to global emergencies.
Yeah.
Which brings us right into navigating the information matrix. The post-2020 environment has basically permanently altered how people view authority.
The briefing treats it almost like ground zero for the death of trust. And they unpack this through two really fascinating examples. Pandemic simulations and UAP or UFO disclosure.
Let's start with the pandemic skepticism, because they talk about things like Event 201, right?
Yeah. Event 201 was a high-level tabletop simulation back in late 2019, simulating a novel coronavirus. And current WHO initiatives or Marburg virus scenarios are viewed the exact same way.
Meaning they aren't viewed neutrally at all.
Not at all. They are filtered through this intense suspicion about emergency governance. Alternative communities view these as frameworks for rolling out massive surveillance and digital identity expansion.
Okay, I follow the logic on the health skepticism. But what does this all mean when you bring in UFOs? Are the sources suggesting that pandemic simulations and UFO declassifications are actually two sides of the same coin?
That is the exact pattern being recognized here.
Wait, really? That both are just different tools for narrative management and psychological conditioning?
Yes, especially during a time of extreme systemic fragility. They talk about a concept called slow disclosure.
Like dripping the information out slowly.
Right. The briefing cites Daniel Whiteson's concepts on alien physics. The idea is, if fundamentally alien technology was revealed all at once, it would shatter our current paradigms of science and energy. Institutions would lose all authority instantly.
So they have to pace it.
Exactly. Disclosure isn't about a single moment of sudden truth. It's a carefully paced psychological acclimatization.
So because institutions no longer have automatic narrative authority, every single official move, whether it's a virus or a declassified Navy video of a tic-tac craft, is heavily scrutinized for its true intent regarding societal control.
They're always asking, why are you telling me this right now, and how does this build a new toll booth?
Wow, that's heavy. And it makes you realize that with the external world feeling like this constant battle over truth and access, people are really running out of external institutions to rely on.
You can't trust the money, the food, the media.
So the only place left to go is inward, which is our final major theme today, inner adaptation.
And this is a profound shift. Systemic breakdown is acting as a direct catalyst for spiritual and psychological awakening.
They get super specific here, referencing Carl Jung's stages of spiritual awakening.
Yes, touching on the crisis, confronting the shadow, rebirth, and this very interesting desire to no longer be seen after an awakening.
Meaning you just want to step off the performative treadmill. You stop wanting to go viral or feed the algorithmic portals.
You literally withdraw your kinetic energy from the matrix.
It's incredible to think that things like meditation, nervous system regulation, breath work. I mean, these have evolved in this narrative from being a weekend wellness retreat activity to an absolute functional survival tool.
They really have. If the external structures are designed to keep you in a constant stress loop in fight or flight, then building emotional resilience and forcing your body into a calm state is the only way to stay anchored.
It's an act of rebellion.
Exactly. As confidence in centralized authority weakens, intuition, self-regulation, and localized community support become the new foundation for reality, awakening is viewed as an adaptive behavior now.
Man, this has been an intense briefing to unpack. As we wrap up today on behalf of the Truth Seekers Weekly Briefing, we really need to just pause and acknowledge that processing this information is heavy.
It takes a huge toll.
It really does. We're living in challenging times, and it is absolutely vital to emphasize the necessity of emotional, physical, and spiritual care to navigate the daily repercussions of these shifts.
But the sources do give us some practical steps, key pillars for action to rise above the matrix.
What are the main takeaways there?
First, intentionally letting go of fear, because fear is the master key of control. Second, practicing active forgiveness to clear emotional residue. Third, using transformational breathing to regulate your body.
And the final one.
Living with the heart of a volunteer, approaching life through authentic, localized service instead of constant competition.
I love that. By connecting these dots today, we aren't just seeing isolated crises. We're seeing a system under pressure, and clarity is found in recognizing the patterns.
The awareness changes the game.
It does. And I want to leave you with a direct, challenging question inspired by this briefing. You're either outside acting in the movie, or you're going within to watch it consciously.
That's a powerful way to frame it.
So which role are you playing right now? Are you being pulled by fear or anchored in presence? Because here's the thought I want you to mull over. If millions of us successfully unplug and achieve this quiet, decentralized mindfulness, does the matrix actually collapse from neglect? Or do the institutions just re-engineer the toll booths to monetize our newfound mindfulness? If they can't control our outrage, will they figure out a way to tax our peace?
Oof. That is the question of the decade right there.
In a world of constant noise, clarity is a choice. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay grounded, use calm discernment, and keep tracking the signals until next time.